I've been thinking this week about how change happens in our lives and wondering how many of us have tried to make a large change all at once. Maybe you've tried to do this as a New Year's resolution, or maybe you reached a point in your life where you said, something has to shift here. But large change is tough, isn't it? It is never easy for us. I was thinking back when I was 11 years old, my father decided he wanted to learn to play the guitar. So he told my mom, I want a guitar for Christmas, and she got him one. And he was pretty musical, so it didn't seem like a big stretch. And my dad practiced diligently for 3 days. And that was it. That was the end of the guitar playing. His schedule just wouldn't make it work after that. But he said to me, would you like to learn the guitar? And I thought, sure, why not? It wasn't on my bucket list, but there I am. One very geeky-looking kid, about 11, 12 years old, strumming. That was a $13 guitar. What a great investment. And actually, now, some 50 years later, I'm really glad that my dad gave up on the guitar, because this was our band playing. You know, this is called the God Help Us Band. Every song we play is actually a prayer that we can get through the song. And we were joining the Church and Society team yesterday at the Mesa Marathon. And Lisa Lamont, who sings in the choir, she's gone over to get ready for Ignite. She ran that marathon. And she said, we were the only band there. What a great band we are, you know? We got the premier spot. And the runners would come by, and we were trying to play all the running songs we could, like Hit the Road, Jack. On the road again. And then when most of the runners had gone by and there were a few stragglers, we got a little cruel, we'll admit. We played Jackson Brown's song, Running on Empty, because there were some people. This was at mile 19, so they were hitting the wall at this point. This was a tough place, but it was a great day to be out. We were helping the Esperanza School, a school for the homeless. They were running the aid station, and so we thought we'd enhance their aid, and there were some cash prizes. We're waiting to see if they actually won the prize. It's kind of like the Democratic caucuses in Iowa. They're still adding up the points, apparently, so God only knows if we helped them out or not. But I'm grateful for my dad not making the change and that I could make the change in learning to take guitar lessons, learning to practice those small steps every day. And, you know, that's often the way change happens best for us. Large changes are hard. I want us to watch a scene from a movie about a couple that is trying really hard to adjust their life. This is from a film called This Is 40, and they have a number of changes they need to make. Let's watch how they deal with it.
The happiest period in people's lives is from age 40 to 60. So this is it. We're in it right now.
It's true.
Says who?
Says a lot of people. Most people say that.
Huh.
We have everything we need right now to be completely happy. We're going to blink and be 90.
What?
So let's just choose to be happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your eyes are kind of glazing over.
No, I'm processing it all.
Some of these I wrote for you. So we have to exercise every day, spend more time alone together, and we have to go to the therapist every week.
A little pricey.
No stressing over tiny things.
Yeah, that's good. You should do that.
Mm-hmm. We have to get more involved in school, have more patience with the kids, and we need to work on our anger.
I think it'd be good if you could take care of your anger.
No, I said both of us.
That's what I said, our anger.
Okay. No more smoking.
Yeah, you gotta cut that out.
I don't want to make this about a fight. I want to just be positive.
Sorry.
Okay, and then no more holding on to resentments. We have to just let that go.
So if you're saying that if we're arguing and I apologize, you'll let it go and not throw it back in my face later?
Well, I don't do that, but I will continue not to do that. On what'd you write?
All of that. That's plenty. That's a lot.
And you're gonna eat better?
Oh, yeah. I've been doing a decent job. I mean, but I don't think there's anything wrong with having some fries every now and again.
And then I'll smoke that day.
That's not the same thing.
It is the same thing.
I like fries.
And the other thing is your dad stuff, the not letting him, you know, guilt trip you all the time, because that puts a lot of pressure on you and stress, and then the whole family feels it, and he is a grown man and he's not our responsibility. And you're not giving him money anymore, right?
No, I haven't been giving him money. I haven't done that for years, I told you.
Can you please put that down?
How many of you have felt like that wife saying, things have got to change now? It's gotten to the point where we have to put this family back on track. How many of us have felt like that husband just being clobbered by changes, thinking, how would I deal with all of that? It's absolutely overwhelming. And the reality is, we don't get to a point usually where we need a large change overnight. Things happen over time, don't they? And then we gradually realize, oh, I haven't been as active. No wonder I'm putting on the pounds. Or we have gradually grown farther apart from each other. Something now needs to change in our relationship to make it better for us. But the pressures of life make that tough for us. God works very well, though, in small changes that over time have a larger and larger impact on our lives. Jesus talks about this a number of times, about how a large tree starts with a small seed. Or he says a little bit of leaven can cause the whole batch of dough to be able to rise. God can work in those small ways. I was reading this past week about how even a little bit of running can reduce your heart risks by like 30%. Some of you are exercising way too much these days. You need to find a way to cut it back. A small amount could do some good things, apparently. Or if you're not running, a small amount could do some good things. But we live in a world that loves to see large and dramatic results. We want medicine that will work immediately. We want diets that will allow us to lose weight in 3 or 4 days, and then we're done with them. I was thinking about how rare it is to see an ad for any product that would say something like, this works slowly over time. This product will take years before it will bring the results you want. But there are a lot of things where the changes have to move slowly for us. A number of years ago, I was going through a very difficult time, going through a divorce, feeling very low, and it was suggested to me I could join a men's group, and turned out to be a great thing for me to do. It was a group of guys who were all struggling with various things in life. Some were depressed like I was. Some were dealing with addiction issues. Some were having relationship problems. We were quite a group. And we met every Monday night. And the leader said to us on the first week, he said, there's one other thing I want you to do besides coming every Monday night. He said, I want you to pair up. And this week, you're going to pair up with somebody that you're going to talk to 6 days of this week for just 14 minutes, 7 minutes each. And he gave us the three things we needed to talk about. And I thought, I don't have time for this. My life's too full. But I said, all right, I'll give it a try. And you know, it turned out to be some of the best 7 minutes of every day that week for me. It turned out those 14 minutes was actually 1% of all the minutes in our day. It's about 1,400 minutes in a day. And those 7 minutes gave me the chance to talk about what was on my heart and to have someone's complete and undivided attention on me for that time. It was amazing to receive that gift. And I think anyone who has gone through recovery work from addiction will tell you it's a series of steps. You have to take those steps day after day, week after week. It's a series of small shifts you begin to make so that it will take in your life. But Jesus tells us how God is always working, even in small and hidden ways. We hear these short, kind of pithy sayings from Jesus in the passage that John read for us today, kind of 1 to 2 liners about the kingdom of God and what happens, how it's working in the world. Jesus says trees naturally grow from these small seeds. You don't see the tree grow, but you notice what's been happening to it. He goes, a little bit of leaven or yeast will start to rise. That's what it wants to do. That's its nature. In the first century, when people made bread, what usually was a woman who would do that, she would make up her batch of dough, and then she would take a small piece of bread from the prior loaf that had been mostly eaten. She would let that spoil just a bit and then mix it in with the current batch of dough. And that would create the leaven that would make the dough rise. If she hadn't let it spoil enough, nothing would happen. That would be bad. If she let it spoil too much, everybody got food poisoning, and that would be bad too. So there was somewhere right in the middle where that would work. While God can bring dramatic changes to our lives, and some of us have known that, God often works, more readily works, in these small incremental ways, almost in unseen or imperceptible work. In fact, it probably does appear to be invisible for those who are not attuned to God. We will not always see how the kingdom of God grows in us or in places around us, but count on it. It is there, spreading, working, moving. It's like a conspiracy God has started, but in a good way. Somebody said to me this week, this passage sounds like Jesus was talking about cat's claw. You know that plant your neighbor plants and grows over their fence into the alley, and then it starts to spread into your yard? And if you don't watch it, it starts to run all the way down your fence in your yard. That's kind of like how God works. We don't notice it, but it happens. Or maybe like kudzu in the South. That's a plant that's pretty invasive that way. But I think of the ways I have known God working in people's lives in these almost hidden ways. Under the surface, God gets in there and begins to soften someone's heart, or God begins to work to bring love that causes healing across some brokenness. God begins to inject bits of hope into someone who's in a place of despair or who's been touched by tragedy. Or God begins to widen someone's perspective, or creates a receptive mind and a spirit to receive what God is bringing. Or God begins to encourage someone's compassion to grow inch by inch, foot by foot. And God knows there are some people where it takes years for them to be able to come to faith. You all know that too. Some of you may have been someone like that. Or you carry in your heart the worry for someone who's a good friend, a coworker, an adult child, wondering if they will come to faith. But God doesn't give up. That's not the way that God works. In fact, God is able to get into nooks and crannies in people's lives that we could never enter. God will find a crevice. God will find a way to move the Spirit in places where human words, human pushing, human influence couldn't even come close. But God can find that way. God's grace, I think, is sneaky like this. And I'm grateful that it is. Let's talk about how God works like this in the power of small habits for us. The Bible reminds us that God often works in these small changes that over time add up to us, add up for us. And the first step for us in these small changes is to recognize God is already here and working. God is already doing something in a change you desire to see happen. Before you even began to work on it, God's grace was leaven that was permeating your life, making things ready. God is already anticipating what we need and what we need to do. Second, let's remember that even a small change in our spiritual life can bring us closer to God. Small steps can lead to small successes, which can lead to larger steps and greater closeness to God. I think of stories in the New Testament like this. The conversion of a man named Nicodemus begins with a short conversation with Jesus that continues to work on him over time. Or a woman who needs healing and says, if I can just touch Jesus' cloak, and she does, and the healing begins to happen for her, and Jesus turns and says to her, your faith has made you well. And the impact those words would have continued to have on her life, and how God's work and God's healing work was possible in even larger things for her. You know, before your feet even hit the floor in the morning, you could say just a short prayer, something like, God, guide my feet and my life this day. Or when you're getting ready to leave the house in the morning, when you're doing whatever you do in the bathroom, and however long that takes you, you know, we're going to give you this booklet next week that's got 21 days of devotions in it, and they're short. When you finish shaving or putting on whatever things you like to put on, take a moment and read that one of those pages. And if you have a little extra time, you can read it twice. That'd be okay too. Let it work in you. Let it be part of the way God begins some shifts inside of you. I like how Zechariah the prophet in the Hebrew scripture says it. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. You know, over in London, in Big Ben, that iconic clock that's so large, has a big pendulum. Taped to that clock on its pendulum are two pennies. Their purpose is to keep it accurate on the time. God gives us small things that can help keep our faithfulness strong and working in our lives. And then finally, let's remember that generosity for us works in the same way. It's about the power of sharing ourselves in large ways, but also in small ways. Every bit of that works in our lives in God's world. I think we learn to be generous one step at a time, not all at once. And so we're inviting you to take some small steps that can add up, that will add up, to help move you forward on that pathway of financial health and of generosity. We want to model ourselves after God, whose nature is always to give. And often for us, generosity is just below the surface, waiting to pop up. Some of you have probably read some of the writings of Parker Palmer. He's a Quaker theologian, written many books, very insightful man. He told about a time when he was on an airplane, I think back east, trying to get out to Denver. And the plane pulled away from the gate and began to taxi. And then all of a sudden, it made kind of a sharp turn and went over to a remote part of the airport and stopped. And then the pilot came on the intercom and he said, "Folks, I've got some bad news for you and some really bad news for you." He said, "The bad news is that a storm front has moved out into Denver and the airport is socked in. Nobody can get in or out. We're trying to figure out what the alternatives are for us." He goes, "But the really bad news is that it's going to be lunch soon and we don't have any food on this plane." Parker said you could hear the groaning immediately. And then people began to complain all around him on the airplane. And then some people got angry. But then the flight attendant did something he said was just amazing. She picked up the microphone and she said, "Folks, we're really sorry about what's happened." She said, "But here's what we're going to do." She said, "Some of you," she said, "I know, are hungry. Some of you have a medical condition. You probably need to eat something right now. Some of you probably don't care one way or the other, and some of you could probably afford to skip lunch." She said, "But what I want to do is I'm going to pass through the airplane two baskets, one on each side, and I'm going to ask everybody here, everybody, to put something into the basket. Maybe you brought with you a little snack to tide you over, some peanut butter crackers and something like that, or maybe a candy bar. Maybe you have some mints in your wallet or your purse. Maybe you have some lifesavers. Put those in, some chewing gum." She said, "If you don't have anything edible, just put something in, maybe a picture of your girlfriend or your kids. Put in a bookmark. Put in a business card." And then she said, "We're going to reverse the process, and we'll pass the basket back through the plane, and you take out whatever you need." And Parker said it was remarkable what happened there. The griping stopped. Everybody began to root through their pockets and their purses and their briefcases. People got up and opened up their luggage from up above, and out came all kinds of things. People found boxes of candy they were taking on the trip. Somebody had a salami. There was a bottle or two of wine. All kinds of things began to appear. And he said the amazing thing was that this flight attendant had transformed this group of people who were angry and complaining into a community of sharing and celebration. People were laughing and talking. She had transformed this moment from a place of scarcity, he said, into a kind of abundance. And everybody had probably only given about 1% of what they had with them. When they finally got to where they were going that day and people were getting off the plane, Parker stopped to thank the flight attendant. And he said to her, "You know, there's a story in the Bible where Jesus does something like what you did, where he fed a large crowd of people with just a little bit of food." And the flight attendant looked at him and said, "I know that story. That's why I did what I did." Generosity is just within reach. It's so close to every one of us. Let's think about some small change, some small step you might take that would have a large impact on your life, on this church, on God's world. Let's pray together for how we might do that. Loving God, you give us so much constantly, and your presence fills our lives, even in ways we cannot always see at the time or the moment. But here you are working, leading us forward, giving us all that is needed for our lives. Bless us to trust you in the ways that you give and lead us so that we may be like you in what we offer of ourselves. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.